Good morning. Welcome. I didn't know whether it was appropriate to do the Thanksgiving service last Sunday or this Sunday, so I planned it for this Sunday. I know a lot of y'all had family members in last Sunday, so I apologize. We'll sort of get that straight, maybe better organized next year. Let's stand and give thanks to the Lord this morning. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Look at others with their lands and gold. Think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we have our guest Gideon speaker, Phil Guffey, here. He's going to show us a quick presentation.
On the first Christmas night, a star lit up the heavens. The angels gathered to rejoice in the coming of a Savior. Shepherds left their fields and journeyed to worship together the light of the world who was born to chase away darkness. This holy child who began life in a humble manger was honored with gifts worthy of a king. Our traditions may have changed over the years, but the one we celebrate remains the same. He is the Prince of Peace, the Great Healer, the Good Shepherd, Emmanuel. He is still worthy of our gifts today. With every donation given, you help fund distribution of scriptures to people who are seeking the hope only Jesus can provide. Join the Gideons International today in spreading the good news of Jesus this Christmas.
As believers in Jesus Christ, you and I have the greatest story to tell. The story of a Savior who came to save mankind. This time of year, the world can tempt us to get caught up in the commercial aspects of Christmas. And you and I have and know the real reason for Christmas. I would like to thank your church for helping the Gideons with our Christmas program, Birthday for Jesus. Birthday for Jesus helps spread the word about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You take the envelope that's in the display in the foyer. Inside, there's a little ornament. You can take the ornament and put the name of the person that you'd like to honor. You can take the ornament and do as you like. You can put it on your Christmas tree. You can attach it to a gift card or a Christmas present. Simply fill out the ornament and the envelope and include the amount that you wish to donate, any amount that you wish to give to honor Jesus Christ. Your donation will help provide for the placement and distribution of scriptures to go around the world, but not just that, but here in Carroll County. Last year, this program provided funding for 15,300 testaments here in Carroll County. So far this year, 3,000 testaments were distributed here in Carroll County. Please pray for those that are receiving the testaments, knowing that somewhere in the world, a man, a woman, a boy or girl will receive a copy of God's Word. Pray that they will receive Jesus as their Savior. You can drop the envelopes in the offering plate or drop it in the mail. Birthday for Jesus donations will be taken here in your church through the first week of January. Thank you, and God bless you this Christmas season.
Thank you, Mr. Guffey. Some other announcements I have. Tonight, we will continue our video series on Revelation, starting at 6 o'clock. Bring snacks and stuff. Okay. Bring some snacks and stuff if you want it. Also, the 3rd and 6th grade, when we release for Children's Church, will y'all go out to the gym with Miss Cherie? And then, you want to name this? You want me? All right, I believe that's what we got. All right, will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for the holiday times that we have coming up here, Lord. I pray that we can just be lights for you, God. I pray for all the blessings you give us. Say thank you, God. I pray you just watch and protect us and let us have ears to hear today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.
Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen.
You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened a life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus his Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs, and you're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there are scars in your hands, that your goodness is good without end, and you'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always. I believe you will come in the clouds. I believe you are here even now. In your presence I know there is power, power to save. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. You were, and you are, you always will be God. Yes, you always will be God. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. You were, you are, you always will be God. You were, mighty, age after age, all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Amen, amen. Amen. Was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way.
across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid my debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid aside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to your glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are transformed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. Thank you, Jesus, the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to your glorious light. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied.
Men come to receive the morning offering. We're delighted you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we invite you to take a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. If you'd fill that out for us and drop it in the offering plate, as it comes by, one of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and all the many blessings that you've given us, Lord. We want to lift up Brother Lanny as he brings a message, Lord, and we pray that you prepare our hearts, Lord, that we receive it. We ask that you put your hand upon this offering. We thank you for the opportunity to give. We pray that it go further than it would ever go because your hand is upon it. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Involved in Children's Church. I want to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group right now. I urge you to come back tonight at 6 and be a part of our video series that we're studying the book of Revelation. It's been great. We're in session 5 tonight. And I think you can hook up there anytime you want to. We also have CDs, if you'd like to catch up, we'd be glad to loan those to you. We can't put it on the church's website because of some but if you want to borrow the CDs, you can, if you'd like to catch up on that. But I think that you'd be able to come at any time and still enjoy the good teaching in the book of Revelation. Well, I've got a little announcement to make here that involves you. I text Brother Leon after our meeting on Sunday evening and told him the church had unanimously called him as associate pastor, and we're looking forward to him coming and serving here at Osage Baptist, and I didn't hear anything back for quite some time, and yesterday I got a long text, which I was fearful of, but anyway, I read that text yesterday afternoon, and I'll give you the gist of that. And after he got back to Arizona, had time to pray and seek God's will about what he should do with his life. He texted me back and said he really did appreciate the church's gracious offer to come and serve on staff, but he did not feel that it was the Lord's will. And so he's turned us down. And so we'll leave that in the Lord's hands, right? He always makes the right decision. So he's not coming. But we want to continue to pray for him and the Lord's will in his life as we look to see what God's will in our lives will be. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the fifth chapter. The book of Romans, the fifth chapter. And as we continue in this book, we worked on the first few verses last Sunday. We're going to begin with verse 6 today. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And as you read from your translation or follow along in your translation, I'll read you out loud from mine and you follow along. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, that's a good statement, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, here's a good word, justified by his blood. Now, I've heard this before, and I'm not the one that came up with it, but I love the justice if I hadn't. Justified by his blood. Just as if I had not sinned. I'm covered. We shall be saved. And we use that word. The church uses that word a lot. Saved, are you saved? A lot of folks don't know what that means. I didn't know what it meant before I got saved. We shall be saved from his wrath. His wrath is hell for the lost and for the devils. His wrath is going to be poured out on the earth at the end of time. We're going to be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were, look at that word, enemies, if you're not for me, you're against me, enemies, we were reconciled. That's a good one. We were reconciled. We've been reconciled. That's behind us. Reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, and I love this word, atonement. We've received atonement. You may be seated. I love the lines to this song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Have you been there? Some of you have. Some of you are going to be there. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, I love this line. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. That good stuff? My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. Where did he get that line? That thought, how in the world can we grasp all that? Not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. In these first few verses, I want to give you a little outline on the outline, and then I want us to go back and do a little review. I told Miss Betty, I said, I'm going to go through it quick. I'm going to try to go through it quick. In verse 6 of these verses that we've just read, we discover that we were at a time where there wasn't any strength on our part to save ourselves. Without strength, in due time, the Lord died for our sin. In verse 8, we discover that we were enemies to God. And you said, I've never been God's enemy. Yeah, when you were lost, you were. I was God's enemy when I was lost. If you're here today and you may not feel like God's enemy, but if you've not been saved, you're on the side of the enemy. You're either for me or against me, the Lord said. So you're on the side of the enemy if you're not saved. I think I mixed it up. Verse 8, we're sinners. We're sinners. Paul said he was chiefest, but I think he's going to have to get in a different line. Verse 10 says, I'm enemies. So let's do a little bit of review on verses 1 through verse 5 in Romans, the 5th chapter. Verses 1 and 2 talks about peace with God. This peace refers to the battle between us and God that's going on before we get saved. And then we come to a place where we're at peace with God. What a great place. Number 2, that peace came about through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2 and verse 14, He is our peace. There's not anything that you and I can do to bring that about. Jesus Christ brought it about. He brought peace between us and God when He died on the cross for our sin. At that point where we received Him as our Savior, we became at peace with God. Number 3, we have a standing in grace. That's good news. Undeserved favor. He's talking about not just receiving it, but we come to a place that it's a standing with us. My account has been settled in Christ. There's no score sheet anymore. My account has been settled. I used to hear the old-timers sing a song, my account was settled long ago. Long ago, my account was settled. You remember that old song? And I always, when I heard that song, I always thought that the singer was saying that when he got saved, his account was settled. But I woke up with two songs on my mind this morning. One was that I read you, it's well with my soul. The other was The old account was settled long ago. And as I ran that through my mind, I made this discovery that he wasn't talking about that his account was settled when he got saved, even though it was. In theology terms, it was way, way before that. Back at the cross, the old account was settled long ago when Jesus died on the cross. Our part of it is accepting Him as our Savior. Our price has already been paid. Our relationship with God has already been taken care of. What the ticket is bought, all we have to do is receive it as our Savior. Receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Verse 2 says we have access. The perfect verb tense of having access also indicates that this is a standing for us, a permanent possession that we have. We have access. He uses the word rejoice. Is the word normally translated boast. It means here more triumph, rejoicing, a rejoicing confidence in the Lord. He uses the word hope in those first four verses. The word hope, first five verses. Hope, it's a happy certainty. Verse 3, he used that, you remember from last Sunday? Tribulation or stress produces perseverance. Why would God allow tribulation in the life of a Christian? Why would God allow pressure in the life of a Christian? Some preachers should stand up here and tell you that it's going to be cushy life if you accept Christ as your Savior. I know better than that. Not going to be. It's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trouble in your life. Maybe more than you've ever experienced if you accept Christ as your Savior. And you'd say, well, then why would I want to do that if I accept Christ if it's my Savior and the trouble is going to be more? Why would I want to do that? Well, he told you real plainly in those few verses that we talked about earlier is from saved from the wrath of God. And there's a lot of good times. There's that peace like a river that attendeth our soul when sorrows like sea billows roll. There's that in the life of a Christian, no matter how difficult time is. What I need most in my walk with the Lord is endurance to stay in the race. Tribulation brings about endurance. You may not realize it, but that's what you need most of all, is endurance in your life. To be able to endure the race. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. And he said, I've not reached it yet, but I'm pressing toward that mark. God has given us proof of His intentions to complete His work in us. In verse 4 and verse 5, it is this little word hope, evidence by the Holy Spirit living in our heart, according to Philippians 1:6. Verse 5, God's love has not been given to us in a twinkle. This is a great verse. Verse 5 is a great verse. It has been, I don't know what your translation says, but my translation says it's been poured out. Not a twinkle, it's been poured out. God's love's been poured out in our hearts. Okay, let's dig deeper in the well. Number one, a description of God's love toward us. Look with me again at verses 6 through verse 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good some would die, even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word for here in the original is a word, Hooper, which means for the sake of, in behalf of, or instead of. So look at it from that. For us, instead of us, on behalf of us, for the sake of us, Christ died. Take a close look at verse 6. First of all, it was when we were without strength. Verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners. Verse 10 says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. That does away with this do-good theology that would say that if you're good enough, you'd go to heaven. You can't be, and I can't be. You and I cannot be good enough to save ourselves. There is no possibilities of that. A few weeks ago, I read you a little statistic about the number of people in evangelical churches that thought that they could be good enough to go to heaven. It's not a possibility. There is no way. Have you looked in the mirror lately? We can't. We can't. We were without strength. We are sinners, and the word sinner, we studied this a little while ago in chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Up here is the glory of God, and here we are as sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. And so something had to bring us from this point here to this point here, and it was the Christ. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. This demonstration of God's love for us, when we read John 3:16, we see God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we can read that. Most of us have that memorized. That was one of the verses that we would memorize early on in Sunday school class, and we'd hear that taught and preached on and used in a lot of different ways. But we have a little trouble wrapping our mind around God's love, or at least I do. But here is a demonstration of God's love. It isn't so much in that Jesus died, though He did, to cover our sins, but it was who He died for here, He says. For a good man, people might die for a righteous man. Many of us would die for a wife. I hope you would. We would die for our kids. We would die for our grandkids or our great-grandkids in an instant. I wish there was some way I could take their place when their heart is broke. I wish that I could be broken for them, but that's not the way it works. But here it says that people would die for their own relatives, for their own kids, for the wife or their husband. They'd die for their grandkids. But what about the sinner down the street? What about that individual? You see, that puts a whole different concept on God's love for us and where we were at before we were saved. If the Lord allows, I always get an opportunity to go through my notes early on Sunday morning to try to refresh myself a little bit. And I was thinking about God's sending His Son to die for us. And I thought about what would I die for? And who would I die for? So I want to ask you today, is there anything that you believe in strong enough to die for it? Do you believe the gospel strong enough to die for it? In your theology and what you believe about the Bible, Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross, do you believe those things that are in your heart? Do you believe those strong enough that you would die for what you believe? I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but this I believe. And I may not live long enough to see it, but some of you will. You young people that are here today in this congregation will see this. You'll see a time that you will have to put up or shut up. You'll have to either take a stand or give in. And I think that many over our country has given in. I think many churches have given in. I think many individuals have given in to the way of the devil and have forsaken the Word of God. I hope that there's things in your life, the Bible for one, that you believe in strong enough that you're willing to die for that, just as you would die for one of your relatives or your spouse or your children. The cross is the ultimate proof of God's love for me. Look at 2 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And look at verse 17, and I'll close with this verse. Therefore, now you've heard it enough to know that when you see therefore, you see what it's there for. So it is getting ready to put a thought out that is Very, very important. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That puts salvation in a whole different perspective. Not a club. Not a do as you please. It's not a haphazard. It is a relationship that brings us to a place that we would be willing to die for what we believe. And all things are of God. You believe that? Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to jump back to that in just a little bit. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now he says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The change takes place. New birth. And when that takes place, we become ministers of reconciliation. That means that we work to see other people come to that same knowledge, that same place. We become ministers of reconciliation, trying to reconcile people to God, trying to preach the gospel in such a way that it will lead people and draw people to Christ. And so every one of us, become ministers when we get born again. And the Bible says we become ministers of reconciliation. We're all in it together. It's not just the preacher's job, it's everybody's job. It's everybody that is born again, that they try to draw the net on other people. You do that in all kinds of different ways. Sunday school teacher teaches and tries to draw the net. The Awana teachers teach and they try to draw the net. We have things here on our campus that we try to draw the net. We have summer camp for our kids. We try to draw the net. We have a car show and Hallelujah Festival and all kinds of things that go on here on the campus that we try to draw the net. We meet every Sunday morning and we try to draw the net to reconcile people to Jesus. Becoming ministers of reconciliation. It's my job. And it's your job to be a part of that. In this thing that we do, there's not a lot of success stories. Did you know that? We try and try and try and we have all this stuff and do. Boy, I mean, we break our neck to do this stuff, and there's just not a whole lot of success stories. Man, I'd like to see them lined up from here to the highway, wouldn't you? Wanting to be saved, wanting their life to change. And when they do make that decision, that they're following the Lord with all their heart, and we're seeing that as when I had the opportunity for about 3 years to be in the foster care program, and it was not easy. Probably one of the hardest things that we'd ever done in our life, and we've been involved in a lot of different ministries, some of them pretty difficult, but I think that this was probably the hardest ministry that we'd ever been involved in. And there wasn't very many success stories came out of that. Some of those we felt like we failed. We went to a little boy's adoption party that had been with us for 14 months. Came when he was 8 years old. He was probably one of the hardest situations that we had dealt with. And he made a little speech, had it written out, had it on a piece of paper. Stood up in front of those that were at his birthday party. Or he had it together. He had a birthday party and an adoption party together. He turned 11 years old. And he read about the time in his life where DHS took him away from his family. Said, I come to live with the youngers. Said, there I found Jesus. And it made all of that 3 years worth it all. One little success story, at least just that part of it. Now, he's not kicking the tops out of the trees. They're having trouble, and it's getting better all the time. But they're facing a lot of obstacles, and we stay in constant contact with them. At least Gwen stays in constant contact with the mother. She's always calling, what would you do about this? It won't be a lot in your life, but God has made us ministers of reconciliation. And that guy that's working on the line with you, your project, that lady down at the grocery store that waits on you, your project, that person that you work with, those kids that live around you, they're all your projects, my projects. We are ministers of reconciliation. Matt, come and help us. Monica, come and help us. Let's stand together. I don't know how God spoke to your heart today. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus. If you're here not saved, would you be saved today? Maybe there's some other decision that you need to make. If you want to come and pray, if you want to talk to me, I hope you'll do that. Come right now. As we sing.